Hello and welcome to the Bangers List podcast. Here with Joel and Julian again. This week, we're looking at This Ship, A Coffin by Adestra. Mate, how are you?
Very good, mate. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm fucking keen for this one. It's one of my favourite songs, I think, of all time. Yeah, it's great.
Plus, you know, it's a Friday as well.
Oh, yeah.
Finish work for the week. It's all good.
Can't get any better. Look, all right, we'll just jump straight into a sample and we'll go from there. What part of the song are we going to look at? All right, so, yeah, look, mate, fucking fantastic song. Do you want to say anything first before I get into all my facts and details?
No. I really like it. It's a good one. So, you go first.
So, look, this one was released in 2012, and I guess that kind of breaks the whole rule of the bangers list. We're like, oh, it has to be pretty new or super sick. So, I'm popping this one into, like, it's the super fucking awesome category.
We've covered this before as well. It was one of those random ones that you came along, and maybe it gets you into a band that they've got old material, and then you sort of, like, catch up to where they are now, but not so much the case with these guys. But again, you know, it's one of those really just good songs. It was too hard to go past.
It's sick. Especially if you're into, like, you know, those high screams.
Upper register.
I think some people don't like them. Personally, I love them, you know, within reason. I wouldn't really necessarily love a whole song of that. Maybe I would. Because you think back to bands like maybe 3 Inches of Blood, years and years ago. Yeah, that really high-pitched scream.
They did that one, Deadly Sinners, didn't they? Yeah, because Joey Jordison signed them, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, true.
Like, he produced one of the records or something like that.
Random facts for Julian.
Knowledge for you there. Yeah.
In this song, obviously, it's not all high screams. There's some low screams and some obligatory cleans, as it were.
Cleans, yep.
I like the cleans in this one. Like, you know, usually I'm quite critical of cleans for some reason. But these ones I don't mind.
A lot of people are. Like, with this kind of music, I've found that so many people are critical of cleans, but only when they're in an upper register cleans.
Mm.
So, think like... Kyle Eric from In Heart's Wake is a good example. People are always really critical. Like, they love him or they hate him because he does have that higher register that people tend to call whiny.
But for me, he is too whiny because he hits that a lot.
And nasally. But I think that sort of goes back to like the older school days as well. You had like punk rock and pop punk and emo bands and stuff like that had the whiny stuff. So I think people from our generation got too much of a feel for it or just learned to hate it subconsciously. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. It just grates on me sometimes. It doesn't sound good. I don't know. And in saying that, like, it's a bit rich because I love falsettos and high cleans, so I should just shut the fuck up and like him as well. You know, we always say, it's your own personal preference, whatever you're into, man. It's your journey. Enjoy what you enjoy.
That's right.
Basically. Look back to these boys, Adestria. Bet you didn't know this song. They're inspired by bands like ABR. August Burns Red. And they sound pretty similar to it in some of their songs.
Some of their stuff, yeah, definitely.
And like where the guitar has like the alternate picking with the dun, 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 dun kind of shit.
Yeah.
And also Of Mice and Men. And the reason that one's weird, I didn't realize those bands had been around so long that they inspired bands like Adestria.
ABR, they started, well, they released Messengers in 2006, and then they had Thrill Seeker in 2004. I think. And then, so they've been around since about 2002. They've been around for a fair while now.
Yeah, so there you go. So bands can be inspired by
close to 20 years.
Yeah. What were the years this band was around for? Because unfortunately they broke up.
Yeah, they were around from 2008 to 2015. And they did two records. The first one was Chapters, which is what this song's off. And the other one was called Gilded Hearts, I believe.
Yeah. In the Gilded Hearts album, they stopped using all the synth. And at the start of this song, there's a bit of piano.
Because they finished as a five piece.
Oh, okay. All right, so that apparently affected the sound. I listened to it once through, and it just didn't grab me as hard as the Chapters album did. But like again, personal preference. A bit more on the Chapters album because it's an interesting thing. What they've done apparently is the album and the songs are based off classic literature.
Yeah.
Literature. So have a guess what this song's about.
Oh, it's about a mutiny.
Oh, yeah, but very much what thing. Classic piece of literature is this song about?
We talked about this. We weren't going to reference it.
But did we actually? Anyway, you're never going to have a guess. What was it? What book is it based on?
Mutiny on the Bounty? Bounty?
No, anyway.
I think that's a book. It's a movie. I don't know that much.
There you go. Well, this is, I think it's pretty cool. It's based on Moby Dick.
Yeah, right.
And the title is said by the first mate of Captain Ahab's crew, you know, the ship coffin.
Ahab,
you say. So that's pretty cool. The other songs are obviously based on other novels and popular literature.
I had always wondered, like, what the title was for. I just assumed it was a, because, like, you know, there was a period where Pirates of the Caribbean was really fucking cool.
2012?
Yeah, 2012. Exactly right. So everyone's like, oh, let's write a metalcore song about Pirates of the Caribbean. So
and as if you wouldn't.
Yeah.
So the singer, like, obviously he was really into making lyrics or kind of, I guess, profound as well. He wanted to, like, share something more than just basic metalcore lyrics.
What was his name?
Can't even fucking remember his name. I had it written down, but it's
something gone. Anderson?
Yeah,
I think it was Andrew or something.
Should we look it up? We'll look it up. Anyway, he,
massive preparation.
Yeah, excellent.
Big prepares.
But so he read a little bit about him. Like, obviously, he sung for the band, was kind of the face of the band for a bit, wrote the lyrics and stuff, and did the screams.
Yeah.
His advice for, like, learning to scream was drink water instead of booze, which apparently, like, was a huge problem. People are like, yeah, drink some piss and go for a scream, but you need to be dehydrated when you're screaming that much. You're going to sweat. I thought that was an interesting little tip.
Well, I mean, like, you know, look at a lot of the vocalists that we listen to that are straight edge that don't drink.
Oh, I'd probably be like, yeah, okay, another level.
The primary example being Winston McCall. Yep. So, like, I don't know that it's fair to draw a direct correlation between, like, as someone that lives a straight edge lifestyle and a high quality, unclean vocal style, but, like, he hasn't looked like he's slowing down any time in the last, what, 15 years?
Yeah, no, and fair enough. So your body, like, if you look after it, it will deliver, I guess.
Yeah,
it's same in screaming, singing, all
exactly
of that.
Exactly right. We've seen a lot of vocalists that drink, smoke, do drugs, whatever, whose voices have just gotten worse and progressively worse and worse, or less and less of a high standard over the years. I don't know that there's a direct correlation there, but as a betting man, I'd say it's definitely, like, it's a thing. So
your quality of life would suffer, and therefore, like, your performance output, I'd say. But that wasn't the reason these guys broke up at all. Unfortunately, it fucking hurts. We've talked about it before. It was, like, the cost of it all. They weren't making enough
money. I actually read the last Facebook post they put up tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And he basically said, we can't do this anymore. Like, we can't live off $5 a day.
Yeah. And we've, you know, another band from Australia, I think, they sing Coffin Dragger.
They Art Is Murder.
Lead singer
for that song as well, actually.
There you go. The lead singer of that band has said the same kind of thing. Like, it's so fucking hard
to
run a band, travel around all the time, and make no money for a year.
Yeah.
And,
that was CJ McMahon, wasn't it?
Yes.
That was when he first left the band as well. He did that interview and he's like, I can't fucking do this. I make, like, no money.
Yeah. And, is it the price you pay to, like, follow a passion is that you're going to be poor?
Well, that was what the guys from Adestria said in their last post. They're like, you know, we can't believe we've come this far when we're grateful. And they were quite humble about it in the way that they said, they basically said, to paraphrase, we accept that not everyone is going to make it. It takes a special caliber, you know, the lucky few that get up and actually do this for a living as well. So
yeah,
it was quite humble of them to say that, you know, it's right. So it's not so much admitting defeat. It's just going, we gave it our best. We had a blast, but it wasn't going to happen for us, you know?
Yeah, we're not going to pay off our mortgages on this, like,
shitty
wage we're not even getting. Yeah, it's sad. I don't know. They didn't fail, I don't think, because of their skill. Like, some of these songs and these two albums, like, amazing.
Yeah.
So, it just maybe the world wasn't ready for them. They didn't fill the niche correctly. I don't know.
I think it's probably got a lot to do with, at least something to do with what we've talked about in previous episodes is, When a band comes along in time they come along, so you'll have, like, some bands that struggled through from before the age of social media and then up to the boom of social media, which is sort of the crux of what I'm getting at here. So, you know, I mean, 2015, social media was really starting to take off as well, but, you know.
2015?
Yeah, well.
That's, like, only 4 years ago, man. I think it was around before that.
No, I know that, but it was definitely getting a lot bigger and bigger. You know, people were a lot bigger on social media and there's more of a focus on it, I think, in the last 4 or 5 years as far as music's concerned.
Oh, yeah, that, fair enough. Yeah. Because it became a way to share music.
It's a gateway, do you know what I mean? And, like, the rise of YouTube getting bigger and, like, massive ad revenue and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, so then maybe they just didn't quite get the timing right.
Well, I mean, like, you know, I'm not saying that before 2015 there was no Facebook and YouTube, but they were definitely not where they were, like, where they are now, they were definitely not there 5 years ago when these guys decided to give up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, fair enough. So, obviously, I haven't seen them live because they never came to Australia. And the reason they never came to Australia was because it was too expensive, like, completely unaffordable for them to come here, tour, and play, which breaks my fucking heart. I've only seen them live on YouTube and they were, you know, not real good. But that's what it wasn't really professional recording or anything, so
no,
still a shame.
I've seen a couple of like I guess you'd say semi-professional recordings of this song, The Ship of Coffin. And one of the things that sort of, just to sidetrack for a second, one of the things that kind of shocked me was I could have sworn, like you could have told me that he had auto-tune on his chorus vocals for the cleans there, and I would have probably believed you. He doesn't, I don't think. He sounds oddly similar live. So he could still have auto-tune. I'm not ruling it out, but it's just he's got this weird clean style. And live, it's sort of, you go, okay, he's controlling his breath and everything, but fuck, it sounds like the studio version.
That's good. You know what I mean? That's a compliment. Like, you want to sound as good or better than your studio version when you play live.
Yeah. Well, it's like we were talking about with Lucas Magyar. He's got a high, a low, and a clean. And that's hard, you know, as a vocalist. Like, that's fucking really hard, even just to have two of those.
Hmm.
So, you know, I mean, if your cleans suffer a little bit because of your uncleans, then that's sort of just the price of doing business, I guess.
Yeah, and you can't, you know, do your cleans and then record your screams after when you're live. You're just going to smash it all out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how do you feel about the piano in the intro? Is that a no-no for a metalcore song or whatever?
No, I don't think it's not a no-no. I mean, that was what, 2012?
Yeah.
So, look, I'll probably end up referencing a lot, but Stand Up and Scream had been a thing for a while then.
I was going to say these guys actually sound a lot like some early...
Yep. There are definitely early elements of, like, the Asking Alexandria, early of my, the Of Mice and Men's first record, like, old Attack, that just sort of crabcore style, that really, really, like, tight guitar and, like, the sort of harsh, trebly sounding recording and stuff like that. So there's elements of that, but I think as far as the piano is concerned, it's a good way to lead the song in because they don't just go piano and then super heavy. They got the chorus piano and then there's the chorus with the drums and it slowly builds and then there's that fucking we talked about the other day, the sweep picking.
Yeah, let me talk about that. So it's an intro solo really.
Yeah.
And it starts with a bit of sweeping. For me, like, sweeping is one of the hardest things I've ever tried to learn on guitar. I tried learning it, I don't know, I'd say 8 years ago now. I really started to learn. I still can't do it. And this song, he nails it. Like, it's easy to nail it in the studio, but he also gets it live. I know it's only like a bar or two of sweeping, but it's still...
A couple of times I've seen him do it live,
He gets it. And I've seen people fucking butcher sweeps. An example I can think of is one of the guitarists from Escape the Fate. Tried to play one of their songs live and got like... 3 notes out of 8. It was a fucking absolute shambles. So you can really fall apart this kind of thing. And I think an intro solo in this song, it works for me. I love it. Like we said last week, is a solo really metalcore? I guess you can make it work. This one does. And straight after the solo, they go into like the riffs and the verse. So.
That's an added, but there's, again, the 3 stages of building. So it's like the intro with the piano and then the sweeping, then that big sort of, he's got the cymbal clamps and he's counting on the hi-hat, but they've got those big synth like trumpets playing in the background
it's like
as well.
Trumpets or something. Like
it's almost sort of like they're like
on their boat, like toot toot.
Yeah, it's like a battle cry or like a battle charge. Do you know what I mean? They're signaling the start of something like really epic.
Mm.
And then obviously, the verse kicks in.
Yeah. Before I ruined what the song was about for you, did you have any idea what the lyrics were about besides a mutiny? Was that just it? Like, it's a fucking mutiny, as basic as that.
I never put a lot of thought into it. I figured there may be like a double entendre, a double meaning. That was personal for whoever, like, I don't know if it was the singer that wrote it, but whoever wrote the lyrics, it could be a double meaning, or maybe they've had an experience in their life that sort of was like that. Maybe they were in the fucking military and they got in trouble for mutinying their senior officer.
So I was thinking it was more like, it's clearly about alcoholism and how it can affect leaders in a team environment.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, because in general, it means vices are, if it says what they talk about alcohol.
He's been locked in his cabin where he drinks all day.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, if someone in your life is being a shit manager or team leader, just revolt.
Just lock them in the broom cupboard.
and then just leave.
Yeah, well, get them really shit-faced on mineral turpentine first and then lock them in the broom cupboard.
Yeah. So, I guess, like, the lyrics in the song, maybe they are quite simple, but, like, they're pretty good. Delivery of every lyric in the song, I think, is on point.
Yep.
Love it. Look, I'll say something maybe a bit egregious again. Maybe this song could have almost been the Bohemian Rhapsody of our generation. I think it's that good for me. But
you are really into this song.
You don't have to agree with me.
Well, like, back to the lyrics, there's everything up until the last bit that you can't keep us down. It just sort of feels like they had a really good song with a story about this captain. And then they just ran out of story.
Song does run out of story.
They just went into this, you can't keep, I don't know what the go with that is. Like, it just doesn't relate. I get it, it's really good breakdown at the end, but I just, it's sort of, it's a bit jarring. Because yeah. You're following along and you go, yeah, this is really cool. Like, what's going to happen? You know, is there going to be like a third verse where, you know, like they sink or they get to safety or something? And then, fuck you. Don't tell me. Like, fuck you. I won't do what you tell me. You know yeah. what I mean?
So we won't put that part of the song in the sample because you'll have to suffer through it on your own.
That's right at the end.
But look, obviously it was a joke. It's not the Bohemian Rhapsody of our time. It didn't top the charts for fucking 30 years or whatever. But no. Like, maybe it should have. Maybe if it had been released a bit later, it would have been amazing. I don't know. Still love it.
What's an example of a song from our heavier end of the spectrum that could have been on par? Like, what's one that's really big?
Raining Blood, maybe by Slayer, because yeah. It's been quite popular for a long time. Sure, it didn't top charts.
Okay, so from like more the metalcore end of the spectrum.
Fuck, I can't think of like a metalcore song that has like stood the test of time and been at the top of all charts.
Maybe The End of Heartache by Killswitch Engage would be one.
Oh, that's like, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was like, huge into
that. Everyone knows that song. Or,
yep.
Like, just good. One of those songs that you put it on, like, Before I Forget by Slipknot would be one.
Because mm-hmm. it became radio friendly at some stage and it's been edited to work on radio. So that's probably, it's a good point.
I mean, Parkway have been getting a fair bit of radio play lately, but that's because they've sort of.
Not on mainstream radio.
No. Oh! No, I don't think they got on, like, mainstream yet. I know a couple of bands have, but. They've been getting a lot of more like mainstream attention, I guess.
Yeah, but I guess commercial radio isn't really the place for metalcore at the same time. Well, not in Australia anyway. You're not going to hear these
but
guys.
That's a fucking brave call saying it's the Bohemian Rhapsody. I don't fully disagree with you though. Like, it's a cracker of a song.
I like it. So, look, how many bangs out of 10 would you give it this week or this one?
Bangs. All right. What did I give Consume? I gave Consume 9, didn't I? Mm. Well, I just to break it down, like, it's got, like, one of the hallmarks of shit metalcore around then, we'll get sidetracked for a second. One of the hallmarks I found of shit metalcore was a complete lack of musical integrity or musicianship.
Yeah, so they're not playing the guitars with, like, skill or passion.
Yeah, and there are songs on this list that we are going to talk about in this vein, so I won't go into it too much, but it was just, like, the song. Correct me if I'm wrong, but from a guitar perspective, it's not really basic. There is a lot of chugging in it. There are a lot of chugs and a couple of breakdowns, but there are some riffing and the sweep picking as well. So the musicians in the band, including the key or synth player or whatever, they do sort of show a bit of prowess, I found, rather than just being straight metalcore, no like quality to it at all. So it sort of sits in both camps for me. It's got a bit of like technicality and then just straight up like moshcore breakdowns and stuff like that. So with that in mind, I'd say probably 7.
Yeah, 7. Like that's 7. Pretty good.
We can't do. I won't say 7.25, but just 7.
So it's listenable, but it's not your favorite song, and that's fair enough. And I was going to give it. I was going to give it a hard 10. You talked me out of it because you're right. The ending of the song isn't super strong, but maybe 9.5. I think it's fucking
All right,
pretty tight song.
That would be the highest rating so far,
just about. But for me, like, because if I had found this song in 2012 instead of 2018, I probably would have been like, "This is the best song ever," and just sat on it for 6 years. Like, nothing can get better than this. You know, I was just closed-minded. Yeah. That's how I think I would have felt then, and even now, like, I still love it. Maybe listen to it like at least once a week. Like, yeah, fuck yeah, I love this.
Yeah, song. I go through phases with songs like this. I'll put them on like 3 times a day, and then I won't listen to them for a month. I'll just smash them for like a week straight and then put them back on the shelf.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was one of those songs that it's fucking really good, but I guess because I don't listen to a lot of their other stuff, it doesn't have a lot of sticking power.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? This album, I think there's some other good songs there, but nothing quite like this one for me.
This was the cream of the crop for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, and obviously other people have other opinions, but like, it's like we say all the time, it's just personal preference, whatever you're into.
That's right.
Enjoy it. So, like, check this one out.
Definitely. It's worth a listen.
Let us know what you think. I'd like to hear if everyone else loves it as much as I do. Or if I need to figure my shit out.
For sure. Well, is there anything else you wanted to touch on that?
Nah, man. But look, you can find us on Twitter at The Bangers List. You can find the playlist on Spotify, which is @The Bangers List. And fuck, like, yeah, get into it.
I figured out how to take my real name off the playlist as well. Spotify fucking around. We've got a slightly different episode coming up next week as well.
Next week's going to be 2 songs in one,
yeah, right? Because we can't figure out that you can only put one band on the playlist at once.
Exactly. So rather than having the same band twice, we've got 2 songs by a band. Yeah, big double header. Get excited for that. We'll talk to you all next week. Take it easy. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Peace.
Don't you understand that's not their problem?